occupation in the world is a mother. You can do more for God raising a bunch of kids for Him than about anything else. I think about Susanna Wesley, raised all those preacher boys. Yeah. Amen. Thank God for mothers. We all got one. Amen. Amen. All right, if you look in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27, Matthew chapter 27. Do our best to give you what the Lord gave me. We'll just start reading here in verse 1. And now I'm through here. A couple things I want to give you before we get to the message. You know, some folks doubt the Word of God. I'd say it, but some Christians, I think, doubt the Word of God. But listen, we can trust God's Word. I mean, be honest with you, you can't trust me. I mean, there's men and women that I trust, okay? I'd almost trust them with my life. But the bottom line is, the only thing you can really trust is the Word of God. It's true. Every word, okay? So let's begin reading in chapter 27 of the book of Matthew, verse 1. It said, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. My. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him unto Pontius Pilate, the governor. By the way, if you're in, if you're going to the FBI school thing, our instructor, Mr. Yates, Brother Yates, is all the time talking about archaeology and this and that and the other. And I read one time in a book where there was a big debate about Pontius Pilate, and they said he never existed. This did not exist. There was no such person in history as Pontius Pilate, and they were going to prove the Bible wrong because. And so they did this big excavation over in Israel somewhere, and they were excavating this like a Colosseum where they had sports and things. And there was the president's box, you might call it, up there, you know. And they were brushing the sand off of the thing, and they said, what's this? And they brushed the sand off, and there was a name inscribed, Pontius Pilate. And like our instructor would say, you can trust your Bible. Then Judas, verse 3, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar or anything, and I'm not telling you have to be to understand your Bible. But Judas didn't repent to the right person. You notice he went to the chief priests and elders. If he would have went to Jesus and repented, you know what Jesus would have done? He'd have forgiven. But he repented and he went to the chief priests and elders, and look what they did for him, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? They said, well, we don't care. What's that to us? See thou to that. And that's what will happen if you go to the world. That's not our problem. Okay. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it's not lawful for to put them into the treasury because it's the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Look with me, and I think it's Zechariah chapter 11. Zechariah chapter 11. That's in the Old Testament there, not too far back here in the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 11. Verses 12 and 13. It says there, and I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price, that I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. That was hundreds of years before Matthew. The 30 pieces of silver to buy the potter's field to bury the strangers in. You can trust your Bible. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood. Verse 8. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for a potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness unto thee? And he answered him never a word. You go back to Isaiah chapter 53 and about verse number 6. I believe it is. Verse 7. Isaiah 53:7. The Bible says he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Isaiah wrote that hundreds of years before Matthew. You can trust the Word of God. Yes. It's true from one end to the other. I mean, how would somebody 600 years before this know? There it is. Verse 15. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would, and they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye thy release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And when he sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whither of the twain will I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be upon us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus unto the common hall and gathered him unto the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that, they mocked him and they took the robe off him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we sure do love you. God, we've just read an account of what they did to you, to my lovely Savior. How they beat and bruised and battered and spit and mocked, scourged. You did it all for us, that we might have a Savior. God, I pray now as we try to expound upon a verse of your scripture, Lord, I pray that you would make it real to the hearts of the listeners. God, may the Holy Spirit of God convey my feeble words and transport them into the very heart of those that do not know you. Lord, we thank and praise you and love you. In Jesus' name we ask it all. And amen. If you back up to verse 22, the preacher was talking about how many questions were in the Bible. And there are hundreds of questions in the Bible. But I believe here, in verse 22 of Matthew chapter 27, is the most important question of everyone in the Bible. And Pilate said unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus?" I want to ask you this morning, what are you going to do with Jesus? Now this question, and you're probably thinking, he going to preach to the lost this morning, and I am. I'm preaching to everybody that's here. Amen. You say, how do you know who was going to be here? I didn't. God did. Amen. And I want to know. I don't want to know, but you can answer the question yourself. What are you going to do with Jesus? Yeah. What are you going to do with Jesus? Now, I got a whole list of things that we probably should do with Jesus. We should receive him, we love him, respect him, obey him, abide in him, conform to him, magnify him, serve him, praise him, glorify him, rest in him, befriend him, rejoice him, adore him, believe him, desire him, enjoy him, follow him, delight in him, trust in him, commit your way to him, wait upon him, welcome him. But I'm afraid there's a lot of people that mock him and hate him and despise him and reject him and refuse him. And just don't want him. And I got news for you. You can't do like Pontius Pilate. You can't wash your hands of it. You will answer the question. You will answer the question. This morning I want to give you a few things. And we'll see how it goes. Some things that we should do with Jesus. First thing, we should believe him. That's why, and I've got in trouble for this several times, but it don't matter. I still do it. I still hold this book up before you. It's old King James book, the only one authorized by the King. Huh? And I'll tell you, you need to believe every word of this because it's Jesus' words. You say, well, I thought it was God's word. It is. Jesus is God. God in the flesh came down, died on Calvary to save us, and we need to believe him. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, says he came into his own, the Jews, and his own received him not. I mean, there was a great failure there. They didn't receive him. But the next verse says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. So are you going to believe him? What are you going to do with Jesus this morning? You going to believe him for salvation? The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't care if you're black, white, red, yellow. I don't care if you got pink hair, green hair, tattoos from head to toe, earrings in every appendage you have on your body. I don't care if you're it doesn't matter if you're Jewish or Episcopalian or Baptist or it doesn't matter. Right. what you are. You be Jehovah's Witness or Seventh-day Adventist, or it doesn't matter. You be Muslim. You be whatever they are, follow Confucius, or you can be whatever. Listen, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What are you going to do with Jesus this morning? Are you going to believe Him for salvation or not? I know many in this room have. I mean, I believe that many in this room have. I can't say I know for sure. Only one I can know about's me. But I believe that many in this room have trusted, have what they've done with Jesus in this matter, and they've believed on Him. Hey, we ought to be look in Luke chapter 19 for just a minute. Luke chapter 19 and verses 5 and 6. The Bible says, "And when Jesus came to the place, He looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus," you know the story, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Look what Zacchaeus did in verse 6. Said, "And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully." Hey, you go, hey, I know what Zacchaeus did with Jesus. He received him joyfully. He trusted him as his Savior. And his whole house was saved. It says on down there in the verses. In verse 5, it says, "And Jesus came to the place. He looked up and saw him." In verse 9, "And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house." So he got saved, and all the little Zacchaeuses got saved. I mean, he was just a wee little fella. It don't matter if you're short or tall or fat or skinny, or it doesn't matter, ugly or pretty. Huh? It doesn't matter. Hey, what are you going to do with Jesus? Well, you can believe Him for as a Savior, or you can maybe believe Him to be your companion. Maybe you can let Him be your companion. That'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? Huh? Wouldn't you like to be companion? Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible says, "There, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come unto him, will sup with him, and he with me." Now, I know this is in context. It's talking about knocking on the door of the church. But listen, if He knocks on your heart door and you open up your heart to Him, He'll come. Hey, I like that. He'll come in and He'll sup with you. He'll sup with Him. Come into Him and sup with Him. I, every time I read that, I think about my grandpa. He never drank his coffee out of the cup. He had poured in that saucer and slurped out of that saucer. You say, that's awful what he was supping. He was supping. I like that. Huh? I think about that when I read that verse. But Jesus, hey, it's like, and I like my grandpa. We just sat there and he'd sup and I'd watch him. I didn't drink coffee, but hey, you know how grandpas are. But anyhow, listen, Hebrews 13:5, he says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Hey, he's not lying. Trust your Bible. What are you going to do with Jesus? Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. I hope you don't get bored with the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter I don't know any other way to preach. I really don't. I just don't. And I'm not, anyway. Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 6 says, "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Hey, the preacher's been trying to get us to trust the Lord and believe the book. Believe it. Believe it. He'll not fail us. He'll not fail us. You say, well, listen, I started bringing a message this morning from Psalm 23. Said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me." Amen. And I could tell you about times when I walked through the valley that I thought was a valley of death. And we could go around this crowd and we could talk to people that got bad reports and things happening and walking through the valley. of the shadow of death. But did you notice? He said he wasn't fear. I know he wasn't afraid because he's walking.
Yeah.
He ain't running.
Right.
If you're scared, you're going to run.
Yes, sir.
Anyhow, but I want to tell you something. Hey, what are you going to do with Jesus? Are you going to trust him as your Savior? You're going to let him be your companion? How about letting him be your comforter? John 14, 18, he says, I will not leave thee comfortless. I will come unto you. I believe we have not because we ask not. I think I read that somewhere. Hey, we need to receive him. That's the first thing you can do with Jesus. Receive him as your Savior. Receive him as a companion. Receive him as a man. Second thing you can do is love him. What do you want to do? What are you going to do with Jesus? You going to love him? You going to love him? He loves you. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hey, he gave himself for you. He gave himself for you. He died for you. I think I'll just go ahead and love him. I think I'll go ahead and love him. I think I'll go ahead and love him with my first love. Remember the day you got saved? Remember the day you got saved? Hallelujah, glory to God. You know, I tell people all the time, the problem with most Christians is they don't remember the day before they got saved.
Yeah.
You remember what a mess you were the day before you got saved?
Amen.
Huh? Man, hey, your conscience bothered you. You was tore up about it. You're scared of death, of dying and going to hell and all kinds of things. I mean, you're a drunk or a doper or a harlot by the way, you could have been a good old boy from over in the country and never done nothing bad to nobody. You're still lost and dying and headed for hell because you haven't done anything with Jesus. I'm going to love him. Every now and then I get a little cold, sister. And I think, he I don't know if he does this to you or not. But you get off wandering down the road over there somewhere, he'll bring a verse of scripture to your mind. And say, what are you doing? You know, like, you think, boy, I'm not loving like I used to. And he said, and you remember that verse that said, the love of many is waxed cold. And you hit your knees and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Or you remember that verse over in Revelation where he tells the church, said, go back to your first love. Your first love. And you get on your knees and ask God, what are you going to do? Well, we need to receive him. We need to love him. We need to respect and obey him. We had Sunday school lesson this morning. Our Sunday school lesson this morning was so exciting. It was about obedience.
Amen.
Obedience. It says obedience is better than sacrifice. Huh? In Luke chapter 14, in verse number 46, the Bible says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not... Hey, Christians, what are you going to do with Jesus?
Yeah.
Are you going to do what he says or not? Are you going to obey him or not? You going to love him or not? John chapter 14, verse 21 says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. I love that verse, Brother Rick. I love that verse. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them.
Yeah.
He it is that loveth me. John 14, 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. What are you going to do with Jesus? Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Hey, He's not telling you to serve Him for nothing. I tell people all the time that God in heaven's the worst horse trader ever been. I mean, I went and begged Him for forgiveness, and He traded me. He gave me heaven instead of hell. What in the world kind of deal is that? He gave me His love instead of the fires of hell. He gave me a home in heaven instead of hell. Hey, what a trade. What a trade. Hey, why don't we receive Him? Why don't we love Him? Why don't we obey Him? Obey Him. Let's try this one. Why don't we abide in Him? Abide in Him. Abide in Him. Abide means you hang around a while. Back when I was a boy, people don't do it as much anymore. We got so many things. It amazes me how, when I was a boy, we didn't have dishwashers. Mom had an old wringer washer on the back porch. Hung clothes out on the line. Didn't have a dryer. We didn't even have Walmart. Lord, how did we survive? I mean, we planted taters in the ground and tomatoes in the ground and all that stuff. And we went out there all summer and picked them and brought them in. And Mama put them in jars and put them in the cellar house. And we ate on them all winter. And we went to the store and bought sugar and flour and 25-pound poke. Hallelujah. I mean, you start making biscuits for Mom and Dad and six kids, you got to have a big bag of flour. And, brown beans and stuff like that. And didn't have all the conveniences of life, but we had time to visit with our neighbors. Sit on the porch and listen to them tell their scary ghost stories and all that kind of stuff. Just had time to talk to people, to just abide. I mean, just, we did it. I mean, they even had, once a summer, I remember, they had a community picnic where just half of the people in the country, or maybe all of them, come. I mean, the drunks would come. You'd see them over behind the car with their paper bags, sipping a little bit. And nowadays, they do it out in the open, okay? Like Jeremiah said, they're not ashamed anymore. But anyway, they used to have revivals in the church. And the back two rows were reserved for all the drunks. So you shouldn't call them drunks. That's what they are. You say you hate them? No, I love them. I heard Brother Matt talking about witnessing somebody yesterday who was probably high on something or another. I meant to tell him, I got a fella, there's a fella got saved over our way one time, the first two or three times that I talked to him. After he got saved, he said, you do know I was smoking marijuana when you come. I said, yeah, I know. Just keep working on him. Hey, he can save them. He can save them. I'm like, hey, now little children, abide in Him. Abide in Him. John 2:28. Abide. I'm talking about abiding. We used to abide. Now we got all the conveniences of life and we don't have time to even stop and say hi hardly. How is that? I mean, how is that? Hey, back when I was a boy, the only way we boys got around the country on, hey, listen up, it's on bicycle or on foot. If you're lucky, you might have had a horse. We had a horse for a while, but he was to pull logs with. He wasn't riding much. So you're old. I know. I know. Y'all so young, can't even preach to you. You know nothing. But I'm talking about, people used to have time to just Talk to one another. And that's what I'm talking about, Jesus. We need to start, what are you doing with Him? We need to start taking some time in our day and just abide with Him. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. That's 1 John 2:28. Sorry. 1 John 2:6 said, "He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked." And by the way, you know, if you hang around somebody long enough, you'll start acting like them, or walking like them, or talking like them. And I heard a fellow say one time, a famous preacher one time said, a year from now, I can tell you what you'll be. You'll be the friends you hang around with and the books you read. You think about that one a while. Anyway, hey, John chapter 15, verse 5, he says, "I am the vine and ye are the branches." I'm talking about abiding in Him. "He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." If we're not hanging out real close to Jesus, we ain't going to get much done. So that's not correct English, I know. But we're not. Hey, what are we doing with Jesus? What are we doing with Jesus? And we all preach to the lost. What are you doing to do with Jesus? We'll get back to that in a minute. But I want to ask every Christian, what are you doing with Him? Come visit Him every Sunday morning. He's good on Sunday nights too. He's real good on Wednesday nights. You know, I used to, back when I pastored, I used to like Wednesday night better than any night. I mean, it was just, I don't know. My philosophy on Wednesday night was always try to do something encouraging on Wednesdays. Get you over the hump. Get you to Sunday. Anyway, John 15:7 says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you." You say, why do you always emphasize words? I'm telling you, this book is important. Yes. By the way, could I ask a question? What are you doing with Jesus? What are you doing with Jesus? You're not going to do anything with Jesus apart from this. If you don't understand, I'll explain it to you. This is the written word. He's the living word. He's in heaven right now. He gave us His word. He's talking to you, but He can't talk to you unless you open it.
That's good.
Amen. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, listen up. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. That sound like a pretty good deal to me. Sound like a real good deal to me. Hey, we ought to receive Him. We ought to love Him. We ought to respect and obey Him. We ought to abide in Him. You're going to really like this one. We ought to conform to Him. Romans chapter 8. And verse 29. Bible says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Let me just stop there a minute and explain something to you. This verse has nothing to do with the lost man. Nothing. By the way, side note, the Bible, for the most part, has nothing to do with a lost man. There's only one message in the book for a lost man. Be saved. Trust the Lord. After you're saved, then you're predestinated to be conformed to the image of God. He's trying His best to get us molded into the image of His dear Son, and we're bucking Him every way we can. We won't read about it. We won't listen to Him. No, I shouldn't say that. I won't. Y'all are better than I am. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. We need to be conformed to Him. Was it Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Let me go there and read it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Hey, y'all doing pretty good so far. You're here. You're present. Your bodies are present. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. So we're supposed to be conformed to something else. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, which is that being conformed to the image of His Son. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Did you ever read that one? Did you ever read that one? It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You say, well, how could I have the mind of Christ? Glad you asked.
That's right.
Yeah. I've not found a way to get away from this book. By the way, I'm not trying to find a way away from it. I'm not trying to find a new book. I'm trying to obey the one I have.
Amen.
And if we don't like the one we have, it's because we're being disobedient. So you're pretty sure of that. Yep. Say, I don't like you. That's neither here nor there. I'm going to tell you the truth. I believe it's in Galatians, maybe somewhere, where Paul said, wherefore am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Look it up. It's in there. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. The Bible says, for even hereunto were ye called. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow His steps. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Hey, listen. What are we doing with Jesus? Are we believing Him? Are we believing Him? Are we loving Him? Are we obeying Him? Are we abiding in Him? Are we conforming ourselves to Him? I tell you what we ought to do. We ought to magnify Him. He's big, but we need to try to make Him as big as we can. I mean, He's big, 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 big. And let me give you one more and we'll call this thing to a close. We need to rest in Him. You need rest. I don't know about you, but I get tired. Like the old saying, I don't get tired of the way, but I get tired in the way. And we need to learn to rest in Him. Go back to Psalm 37. I find myself in that psalm a lot, Brother Dave Butler. I find myself there a lot. Let's see. Verse 1. It says, fret not. Verse 3 says, trust in the Lord. Verse 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord. Verse 5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord. And verse 7 says, rest in the Lord. You go all the way down to verse 34, it says, wait on the Lord. Listen, there's rest to be had in Jesus. Rest to be had in Him. Back to the Scripture. Judas made his decision what he would do with Jesus. He rejected. Pilate decided what he would do with Jesus. He washed his hands of the whole thing, but what amounted to is he rejected him. Every person from Adam till today has decided what to do with Jesus. Today, we can decide what do we want to do with Jesus. You want to crown Him or crucify Him? You want to choose sin or the Savior? I could do what most people call scare tactics, say you don't have another day. The song they sang about told us you don't have no promise tomorrow. None of us do. But listen up real close. If you didn't get nothing else, I want you to get this. What we do with Christ now will determine what He does with us later. It will not be, and Christ is the judge. When we stand at the judgment, it will not be Christ sending anybody to hell. You decided. You decided what you wanted to do with Jesus. A fella named A.B. Simpson wrote a poem one time, and it's been put to music. It's number 297 in the hymnal, and I'm just going to read you part of it. It says, Jesus is standing in Pilate's hall, friendless, forsaken, betrayed by all. Jesus is standing on trial still. You can be false to Him if you will. Will you evade Him as Pilate tried? Or will you, like Peter, the Lord deny? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will He do with me? Sister Cheryl, if you go to the piano. Listen, today, if you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen, I don't care what you've done, neither does He. I don't care where you've been, how bad you think you are, He can save your soul. If you'll just accept Him, receive Him as your Savior. Christian, what are we going to do with Jesus? What we need to do is every morning get up and think, what am I going to do with Jesus today? What are we going to do with Him? Let's stand as we sing. Altar's open, come. If you're not, hey, listen. If you've never trusted Christ, please come.
Yes.
Please come.
282.
Thank you for coming. If it's your first time, please come back next week. Preacher will be back.